November 8th started like any other Monday for the staff of the Kyiv Post. Most journalists were rejuvenated after the weekend, ready to tackle the new week. They walked through the office doors to work on their latest stories, investigations, and multimedia projects. And like on any other Monday, there was a general meeting at 11 a.m. The general meetings weren't mandatory, but highly encouraged, especially since 94% of our office was vaccinated, with fewer people working remotely. It's where the news teams, politics, business, culture, photo and video, gathered to update Kyiv Post chief editor Brian Bonner and others on what they were working on. Journalists pitched new stories, suggested ideas for cartoons and editorials. But on this particular Monday, instead of the Kyiv Post staff updating the chief editor with the latest news, Brian had something to reveal to us.
In the last 3 weeks, we've gone full circle from we're going to expand double, triple to where we are today, which is the Kyiv Post is out of business, effective immediately. There's no more stories reported, written, edited, no more website updated, no more print edition, no more anything. Question.
The Kyiv Post was a small but reliable weekly print and online publication that many expats, diplomats, business people, and tourists relied on for political, business, and cultural news. The paper had existed for 26 years. It was known as an independent publication with high standards. But when it was bought by real estate tycoon Adnan Kivan in 2018, it turns out the newspaper's days were numbered. My name's Alina Alyamkent. I used to write for the Lifestyle Desk and produce podcasts at KP. I love to cover Ukraine's booming techno and art scenes. But then I found myself among 50 unemployed staffers, suddenly told their work was over and their beloved newspaper was being shut down, supposedly for the time being. When the paper would reopen, we weren't told, but the marching orders were clear. We were to finish the workday, pack our belongings, and leave. As you can imagine, we had a lot of questions, a lot of reactions. Looking around the room, I saw the shocked and crestfallen faces of my colleagues. I looked over at my desk's editor, Toma Istomina, who was taking in the information. Toma is a curly-haired, smart, and energetic 26-year-old editor at the Kyiv Post. Having worked at the newspaper for 4.5 years, she noticed a few strange things that morning when coming into the office.
There were red flags everywhere. In the morning, we came to the office and we wanted to publish like our COVID updates, the regular morning thing, some of the stories from last week's print that haven't been published yet. So like the regular Monday routine, we all come to the office, we get some coffee, we start chit-chatting about what's coming up, discuss the news, and then we post some stuff, you know, just the regular morning. And then we can't post anything. None of us has access to the website. That was already weird.
Another weird clue was how Brian kept pushing our general meeting back, seemingly nervous, delaying the inevitable. Another sign that something was up was that our accountant had come straight from the airport to attend a newsroom meeting, something she doesn't normally do. But this wasn't that regular meeting. It was 50 people finding out that they're losing their jobs.
I think most people felt immediately like scared, disappointed, sad, devastated. I saw people tearing up. I saw people with their jaws dropping. I think the typical reaction was a shock mixed with devastation. In a way, it was a relief because these tensions between the owner and the editorial team, they have been going for several weeks by then. It was clear to me that this owner doesn't respect editorial independence because he has a different understanding of what it means to be editorial independent.
Yeah, before we go any further, we should first preface with the 3 weeks preceding this general meeting. Adnan Kivan bought the Kyiv Post in 2018. At first, it seemed to be working out. The Kyiv Post had his face on the print cover that week, accompanied by his quote, "Without independent journalism, you can't get democracy." But behind the scenes, there was more to the story. During the first visit to the newspaper's old office on Pushkinska Street, Kivan softly encouraged the newsroom to be less critical of the government. "Silence is golden," he said. The team was surprised to hear that, but it didn't affect their work. I had been working at the Kyiv Post for 2 years before I saw Kivan for the first time in the new office in September. A millionaire businessman, originally from Syria, who owns the Kador Construction Company with dozens of property in Odessa, a regional capital in southern Ukraine. When I finally saw him in person, I was a little surprised. Kivan walked around in a black fitted suit with a wide smile on his face. Clapping his hands while walking around the office, he said, "Kyiv Post, so small, but so important." When he finished his visit, he shared a metaphor about receiving bullets due to the Kyiv Post journalism, which everyone understood as the pressure put on him because of the Post's coverage. The newspaper has had three owners since being founded in 1995, and their occasional complaints about external pressure were nothing new to the paper. Every president and every government has made it clear that they weren't happy with the Kyiv Post's critical coverage. Similar signals have repeatedly come from many influential businessmen. But about a month after Kivan's remarks, on October 14th, something extraordinary did happen. A surprising Facebook post that took the newsroom aback. Olena Rotari, a journalist that works for Kivan's TV station, posted an announcement that she, from now on, was chief editor of a new media, the Ukrainian language version of the Kyiv Post. No one at the Kyiv Post knew anything about it, not even the chief editor. The owner ordered the expansion, bypassing the Kyiv Post staff. Kivan wanted the Kyiv Post brand to expand with Ukrainian and Russian versions. The staff agreed to lead the expansion, but were against a hand-picked appointment over the chief editor's head. The newsroom wanted Kivan's candidate to apply for the job and go through a normal interview process like everyone else at the Kyiv Post. In 2 weeks, the entire disobedient staff was fired and the Kyiv Post was shut down. The disagreement over fair hiring seemed to have pushed Kivan to take radical measures. Some allege that pressures from the authorities, such as the prosecutor general or presidential administration, may have played a role. In just one day, 50 people lost their jobs and a beloved newspaper they have worked at for years. But the Kyiv Post journalists didn't pity themselves.
I didn't feel like a victim. I felt like, well, I'm an independent journalist, I did my job well, and I got fired for it. And, well, you know what? I'm proud of it.
The Kyiv Post was silenced. But did the owner, or whoever was behind the shutdown, expect it would be enough to silence its journalists too? Immediately springing into action, the team quickly planned out their next moves. A staff statement was written and published the same day, starting with the simple, "The independent Kyiv Post has ceased to exist today, after 26 years.
We consider the cessation of publication and the dismissal of the paper's staff to be an act of vengeance by Dnan Kivan. He has officially announced plans to reorganize the Kyiv Post and to restart operations in a month with a new team. We see this as the owner getting rid of inconvenient, fair, and honest journalists."
The response was international. Within 2 days, over 200 reports about the Kyiv Post shutdown had been published by news organizations across the globe.
This was really the place where we shaped global opinion about Ukraine.
That was our boss, ex-Kyiv Post editor-in-chief and CEO Brian Bonner. With the shutdown of the Post, he decided to retire after 45 years in journalism. For the following 2 weeks, Brian would oversee the final operations to stop business. He would sit in his glass office, alone. A captain who went down with his ship. Finding out about the Kyiv Post's fate was a shock, he says. He delayed announcing the news for almost a week, hoping that the owner might change his mind. But by Monday morning, it was clear he had to let us hear the painful news.
This paper, you know, mattered to me. It mattered to Ukraine.
And how dangerous a time it turned out to be to have no reliable local English news source that reports on Ukraine. As Russia builds up military forces on Ukraine's border, Western intelligence continues to warn of a possible large-scale invasion. Every day, but especially today, Ukraine needs a free press in English to tell the world its side of the story. Instead, there's silence. So a team of our journalists decided to change that by taking the values of their beloved but now lost newspaper and uniting to create their own independent media. A week after the events of November 8th, the united editorial team of ex-Kyiv Post journalists realized that although they couldn't get back the old Kyiv Post, they could at least save its values and their principles by creating their own media organization. The first thing on this media's to-do list? To keep people informed with a newsletter called Ukraine Daily. Curated by volunteers, our journalists are working 24/7 to bring vital news straight to subscribers' inboxes every morning. Covering the latest COVID numbers, national news, business, and culture, the newsletter only takes a few minutes to read. You can subscribe to it on our landing page, SaveTheKyivPost.com. And what's next for this new publication? Our most recent news is our partnership with JNomics Media Consulting. More on this and what it took to name this new media outlet in our new episode of Media in Progress, a podcast following a team of journalists in their fight for an independent press in Ukraine.